Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have stories on music and art. Our first story is about a Mexican-born singer who sings the popular American music known as the blues. Marcia James has more.
Blues singer Evelyn Rubio has released a new CD that shows her abilities as a singer, songwriter, and saxophone player. Miss Rubio was born in Mexico, but now lives in Houston, Texas, in the southwestern United States. She sings in English and Spanish. She plays the saxophone with jazz and blues bands, but she began her career as a singer in Mexico.
I started my career singing, you know, I have been singing all my life, and saxophone came later just for fun.
So divine, I knew you would
She
be.
Says record companies have shown interest in her music. But she decided to use her own money to make her CD and music video. Because she works independently, she controls what songs she sings. But she must pay for her own photographs, videos, and publicity campaigns.
Before, you used to think that, oh, somebody's going to discover you. You know, I don't think it works anymore like this on... Well, maybe for some people, but right now you need to do as an independent artist a lot of work.
She paid a professional crew to produce a music video in New York. Many people have watched it on YouTube. One of her most popular songs is called Hombres, the Spanish word for men. She says she wrote it to protest the many blues songs that say bad things about men.
Most of the blues songs that talk about guys, they talk about the bad stuff, you know, the cheating, the running around, doing wrong, blah, blah, blah. So, and I really think there's so many good guys out there that they deserve to have a nice song talking about them.
Evelyn Rubio also recorded her songs in Spanish and produced a separate Spanish-language CD for Hispanics in the United States and Mexico. She says her kind of music is becoming popular in Mexico.
Mexicans like joy, jazz and blues. Blues is about your soul, about your heart, and everybody can relate with that.
I'm Marcia James.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Some of the world's oldest art is in a cave in France. The walls show mammoths, cave lions, and other extinct animals. But the 30,000-year-old artwork is too fragile to be shown to the public. So experts have created a detailed copy of the cave and its paintings. Anne Ball has more.
Some 30,000 years ago, artists living in caves in Europe painted pictures of the animals around them. Panthers, hyenas, rhinoceroses, cave lions, mammoths, and other creatures now long extinct. The paintings were highly realistic. Some even showed movement. The artwork, more than 1,000 drawings, is considered the oldest group of human cave drawings ever discovered. They were preserved because the cave was sealed, closed off, for 23,000 years. Fast forward to December 18, 1994. A group of French cave scientists were exploring caves in southern France. Jean-Marie Chauvet led the group. He describes discovering the cave paintings.
And I was in the front, Elliot behind me, Christian behind. Elliot said she saw two marks made with red ochre, and she said, they came here. And at this very moment, everything began. The drawings and everything linked to the parietal art. That's where it started.
Cave art expert Jean Clot reviewed the paintings. Scientific analysis confirmed the prehistoric date of the artwork. Studies showed the drawings were created tens of thousands of years ago, before human history was written. The United Nations group UNESCO lists the cave as a World Heritage Site. They say the drawings form a remarkable expression of early human artistic creation of grand excellence and variety. The Chauvet Cave is named for the explorer who first entered it. Its environment and drawings are very fragile, so the cave is closed and only people there for scientific purposes can go inside and see the artwork. However, French authorities wanted the public to see the cave and the artwork too. So they asked experts to create an exact copy of the cave called Pont d'Arc Cavern. The copy, or replica, cost $59 million to build. It opened at the end of April in France. Pascal Terrasse is the president of the cavern. He says everyone will be able to experience the thrill of looking at drawings made by the first humans in Europe. He says the place is magic because it is done so well. Authorities say they think as many as 400,000 people will visit the Pont d'Arc Cavern every year. I'm Anne Ball.
We end our As It Is program with some news about Learning English broadcasts. As of June 7th, Learning English programs will no longer be heard on VOA's medium wave radio station in Bangkok. But you will still be able to listen to all our programs on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com, and on podcasts from iTunes. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. The self-declared Islamic State has captured two major cities in less than a week. Islamic State fighters took control of the ancient city of Palmyra in central Syria on Thursday. The fall of Palmyra reportedly left the group in control of half of Syria. It came just days after the militants seized the Iraqi city of Ramadi. Palmyra is famous for its historic ruins. Some date back nearly 2,000 years to the time of the Roman Empire. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization recognizes Palmyra as a World Heritage Site. There were no immediate reports of damage to the ruins, but Islamic State militants destroyed a number of cultural treasures earlier in their offensive across Iraq and Syria. The militants claimed those artifacts violated Muslim beliefs. Mahmoud Abdul Karim is Syria's antiquities director. He says hundreds of statues have been removed from Palmyra to safety, but other objects were too large and could not be moved. Middle East historian David Lesh is with Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas.
It's a huge loss to the history, to archaeology. It pains me significantly, but more so it's just another symptom of this tragedy that's happening in Syria and the loss of life and the destruction of a country that really is, you know, one of the few places that indeed is a crossroads of history.
Mr. Lesh says the Syrian government has, up to now, been able to argue that it can only protect the Syrian people and cultural treasures. That, he says, may no longer be true. The fall of Palmyra marks the first time the Islamic State has seized a major city from Syrian government forces. Up until now, most of its military gains in Syria came as a result of victories over other militant groups. In Britain, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said Thursday that the Islamic State now controls more than half of Syria. The group depends on activists inside the country for its information. The capture of Palmyra in Syria and Ramadi in Iraq raises questions about the effectiveness of American efforts to defeat the Islamic State. On Wednesday, President Barack Obama stated his support for Iraq's prime minister and the decision to plan an operation to retake Ramadi. His comments came as Iraqi government forces and Shiite militias surrounded the city for a possible attack. Some observers say the Islamic State gains show that the Obama administration needs a new plan of action to stop the militants. One administration critic is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner. He says President Obama should send Congress a new authorization of military force request to permit U.S.-led operations against the militants. But White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest rejected Mr. Boehner's comments. He said the president and administration officials had met repeatedly with lawmakers to negotiate the language of the request. He said the House Speaker is simply looking for reasons not to act. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.